Welcome to the Climb Your Mountain podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Maurer, a certified personal trainer, high altitude mountaineer, and ultra runner. Each week, I show you how to train, eat, think, and live like a mountaineer so you can boost your chances of reaching the summit. My passion is to empower people of all ages and sizes to get outside and live lives of adventure. Remember, mountain climbing will never be easier than today. So let's dive into the show. What's more important, strength training or cardio training? As an endurance sports coach, you wouldn't believe how often I get this question. And my extremely aggravating answer is, it depends. You see, asking whether you should focus on strength or cardio to prepare for a trip is a little like asking at age 18 whether you should go to college or start your own business. There are just so many variables to consider, and the answer is going to be different for every human alive. But that doesn't mean that the balance between strength and cardio training isn't an important question to consider. So today on the podcast, I'll share a metaphor to help you understand how both benefit you as an athlete. And we'll also talk about some ways to find the right balance for you as you prepare for your next trip. Ready? Let's do this. Today's episode is brought to you by my course, Mountain Fit, Self-Coaching for Mountain Athletes. So congratulations, you've signed up for a mountaineering trip or a long-distance trek. Now, how the French toast do you get in shape for it? You could hire a coach to help you, but the ones who actually understand our sport are so damn expensive. And even if you get a good one, no coach is ever going to understand your lifestyle, your schedule, and your body the way that you do. The truth is, you will always be your own best coach. You just need to know what to do and when to do it. That's why I created Mountain Fit. This online masterclass is the roadmap you've been looking for to help you reach your fitness goals. In this course, I walk you step by step through everything you need to transform yourself into a diesel-powered hiking machine, even if you're starting from absolute zero. By the end, you'll know how to assess your fitness level, write a training plan that gets results, and choose the best exercises for your goals. And if you need a starting point, I've included 40 weeks, that's 40 weeks of training plans you can adapt for your own season. So stop wasting thousands of dollars on Tracy, the big box gym trainer who has never hiked a day in her life. Learn how to train yourself with Mountain Fit. To check it out, just click the link in the show notes. Hope to see you in there. Hey friends, how you doing? Did you have an awesome weekend? I sure did. I did something a little bit different this weekend. Those of you who know me know if I'm not out in the mountains having fun, like one of my favorite things to do is just be kicking back at a really good music festival. So we actually had one in Denver this weekend. It's the Underground Music Showcase. So all local artists from Denver, all small venues packing into little dive bars. And there's a couple outdoor venues as well. And what was really amazing about it was that there was a vaccine requirement actually to get into this show, which makes sense when you're putting a bunch of people in a small dive bar to watch a show. And because of that, it was able to run, even though with Delta and everything going on. And it was just, I can't even tell you, like so amazing. Just to be in a crowd of people, just like the long, long ago times in 2019, just like watching a really great show and dancing and feeling the energy of the crowd and all the people around you. And it almost felt like I was transported to another planet. It was also like a really strange feeling. I'm like, oh my gosh, we don't really do things like this anymore. It just felt like almost like being back in college or something. But anyway, such a blast. So happy that the festival made that choice. I really, really, really personally, I know people have all kinds of beliefs and thoughts about this. I mean, I really personally would love to see more events where there's a vaccination requirement so that we can be around other people and kind of get back to normal life. It just felt so good, so amazing. So that was my weekend. I hope you had a really awesome weekend. And yeah, let's dive into the topic for this week. It's going to be cardio versus strength. Which is better? Which is more important? What should you focus on for your goal trip? And you probably guessed from the intro that there's no good answer to this question. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're thinking about this is believing that one is better than the other or that one is more important than the other, when really, as we'll see in this episode, they both have such an important role to play. And then I think the thing that's funny is whenever people do pick one that they think is going to be the one that's more important, it's usually strength. And often in endurance sports, that's probably the one that, even though it benefits you, is a little bit less important. So great example, this week in the Facebook group, we had someone post and they said, oh, I'm going on a 21-mile hike in a couple of months. Do you guys have some ideas of how to get ready? And invariably, about 80% of the answers were, make sure you lift, don't forget to lift. And I'm laughing as I'm reading it and I'm like, what? How does that work exactly? Like, you make really big muscles and then you take like this giant hike through the mountains and hope that your big muscles are all you need just to get up this really, really steep hill that's like 1,000 feet in a mile. And I don't know, maybe if you want to take like 3 days, but it's still going to be really, really uncomfortable, right? And I think there's a couple reasons people tend to gravitate towards strength. Strength training, it's a bit of a safe spot for athletes and even for a lot of trainers, while cardio and aerobic endurance, they tend to be a little bit more mysterious. So I could tell you, whenever I was taking my ACE personal trainer certification, they have endless chapters and parts of the test that are all about on how to lift, how to build strength, how to improve function. But there's only really one chapter about how to train someone for an endurance event. And I really think that this is why, yeah, it's kind of a joke. It's what I say in the ad spot, but this is why when you go to Tracy, the big box gym trainer, for help with mountaineering, a lot of times you end up with a really good squat, but not a lot of cardio endurance, because it's not something, unless she's had advanced training or focuses on a specific sport, that she really knows enough to teach someone else. But she'll give you a really good squat, not trying to get down on Tracy, probably better than I would. So rather than asking the question, is cardio or strength more important, I'm going to give you a little metaphor to think about. And I hope this will kind of help as you're kind of sorting out, finding the right balance for your next goal trip. So I want you to think of a car and think of the car. It needs both strength and cardio to work, just like you do. So in car terms, the strength of the car is going to be its mechanical integrity. Are the tires good? Do they roll smoothly? Are there any parts of the exhaust system of the car that are like dragging on the ground and slowing it down as it's moving? And the thing to think about with that is, it's going to do you no good to attempt to drive fast in this car if it's just going to make a wheel fly off and then the car, it like spins around and ends up in a ball of fire, right? Like, never a good thing. And then by the same token, cardio is the engine of the car. You can have a brand new Lamborghini race car. Can you tell I know like nothing about cars, by the way? Some people are like, what kind of Lamborghini? But yeah, a race car, like something that's made to go really fast. But if you put an engine in it from a 1972 Pinto, it's not going to go far. It's not going to go fast, even though the body of it is really made to go fast. So does that help you understand how, when you're thinking about both strength and cardio, you need both? And here's another truth that I think is really important to focus on. Each trip that you ever do in your lifetime kind of demands a different blend of strength and cardio. So let's look at some examples. You train differently for a mountaineering seminar on Mount Rainier than you train for a 50K ultra marathon. So if you think about the Mount Rainier course, a lot of times in those courses, you're carrying all your own gear. I had a client that was told to bring a 70, or I can't remember if it was like a 60 or a 70 pound pack, which just seems extreme. But yeah, that's what people were carrying on the course. And if you think about the physical demands to actually climb Mount Rainier, or you don't take the 70 pound pack to the top of Mount Rainier, but you probably take it up about 4,000 to 6,000 feet up to your base camp on the glacier. And then from there, you carry a smaller pack to the summit. So what are the physical demands of that? You need incredible full body strength to do that. You got to carry that pack uphill, and you also do need cardio and endurance, because you're going to have to move uphill at a reasonable pace for several hours, keeping up with the group, keeping up with the rope team. So there's definitely both a strength and a cardio endurance component to that. That's really, really important. And compare that to running, say a hard 50K ultra marathon race. Say it has about, it's this 50K is about 31 miles. Say it's in the mountains. It has about 7,500 feet of vert. And the thing to understand about that race is, unlike the Mount Rainier trip, there's actually a cutoff, a time that you have in order to finish the race. You have to make it to a certain point by a certain time. So then speed becomes a factor as well as endurance. So what do you need to successfully complete that event? You need a huge endurance base, first of all. You need actually some lactate threshold, some VO2 max, some ability to really pull it out and go fast when you need to. And you need a highly functional body, like running and trail running. If you do them, you know, they really kind of can beat you up. They can be hard. They're high, really high impact. But you have less of a need for absolute muscular strength than the person that's going to carry the heavy pack up Mount Rainier. So understandably, your training is going to look really different in these two events. One resource I really love, it's a book called The Outdoor Athlete. I got a copy on Kindle. I will put a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. But the two trainers that wrote that book, they actually have training plans in there for different sports. And it's really funny. They actually go through and kind of do ratings for each sport, like at a scale of 1 to 5 for this particular sport, which is mountaineering. Like, how important is aerobic endurance? How important is VO2 max? How important is strength? How important is specific skills? And they do that for mountain biking, trail running, I think paddling and a couple of other things. And it's kind of fun to see how they kind of prioritize strength versus cardio and even some subdivisions of that for the different sports. If you want to look at priorities specifically for mountaineering, I would check out my past podcast. It's called Stupid Simple Mountaineering Training Plan or something like that. But it's basically the 5 things you really need to prioritize when you're getting ready for mountaineering, especially if you're a little bit short on time. So I'll put a link to both of those in the show notes. And let's talk a little bit about, as you're looking at your next trip, whether that's a mountaineering trip, a trekking trip, a trail race, how do you find the right balance of strength and cardio for you? And the first thing to understand is there's no such thing as a perfect balance. There are almost always going to be trade-offs. So for example, in an ideal world, this ultra marathoner that has to, you know, have a lot of time on their feet, a lot of time running, a lot of time with speed work, they would also be in the gym working on their strength. But in order to do everything would just take more time than most of us humanly have. So in general, some things probably got to give a little bit, even though it would be ideal to work a whole bunch on both. So one way to really find the right balance is to consider the critical success factor. So let's talk about that Mount Rainier trip where you're carrying the 70-pound pack. Cardio and strength, both really important on that trip. But carrying the pack is probably the critical success factor. If you can't get that pack up to the first base camp, if you can't keep up with the group, if you can't actually physically carry it, if you can't get the 70-pound pack up to the first base camp, I mean, the trip is basically over, right? So you can't ignore strength and really still succeed on this trip. Could your cardio be like less than perfect? Probably. Strength really has to be on point. So even though you would always benefit from doing more cardio during the week, using time for training hikes, you gotta give some of that time, a little bit of that time, to heavy lifting in the gym. There's a way to periodize that we'll talk about in just a minute so that you can make it all fit a little better. But yeah, you definitely can't skip the strength training part. By the same token, the ultra marathon, cardio and strength, they're both important. But the critical success factor is having a very strong aerobic engine that can get you through the course fast enough to make all the cutoffs and actually finish within the time frame. So you might need to give up some strength training in order to get your speed work in, get your running time in, even though strength training absolutely would benefit you if you had time to do a lot of it. And the thing that a lot of people find interesting, and I talked about this a little bit in a past podcast episode, and people always freak out when I say this, not doing any strength training is an option for certain ultra marathoners. Like, I don't do any. And I actually just ran like a really good 50K that I was very proud of. It was probably my best race ever with zero strength training and really zero functional training. And I'll talk about this in just a minute. I might make some changes to that. I've definitely learned some lessons from doing that, but yeah, kind of the thought to me was, I really am, like many of you, just a human trying to make it. I'm not a sponsored athlete. I'm training while having a job, having a family obligations, having to, you know, just want to have a social life and fit in other things besides running. So at some point, like, even though it would benefit me, something had to give. And definitely the strength training was the thing that could give without like threatening my ability to actually finish an ultra. So yeah, these are some good considerations to think about. So whenever you're trying to work out the balance. So of course, you want to think about your sport. Generally, mountaineering, they're walking uphill with a pack versus ultra running, you're running with a tiny vest versus trekking, that's probably somewhere in between. You also want to think about your specific trip. There's a difference between going on a mountaineering seminar at Mount Rainier where you have to carry the 70-pound pack and just going on a guided recreational trip where you can carry a much lighter pack. Oftentimes the tents and things like that are already up at the top waiting for you. And so you don't have to carry the same heavy group gear as you would for a seminar. And you also want to think about your current fitness. Maybe you're already doing really well with the cardio. Maybe that's a strength for you. And you really do want to take some time to focus more on strength, even when it's not absolutely important for your sport, just to be a better balanced athlete, just because doing strength training is so important for our health and so beneficial. So that's certainly an option. There are people that really probably should do strength or at least functional training. These are people that maybe have injuries, weaknesses, they're working on rehabbing something. For example, you think about someone with really bad knees. Those people often really benefit from doing some functional training around knee strength, leg strength. It can really help them, keep them healthy. It's an important part of keeping their car running so a wheel doesn't fly off. And also, like I said, just thinking about the amount of time available to you, having endless time to train solves a lot of problems. But most of us, because of the nature of our lives, really need to prioritize. We can't just be training as much as we would like to in a perfect world. So finally, here's a couple tips on balancing strength and cardio in your program. I'll start with talking a little bit about what I call a mountaineering periodization. This is something that's pretty universal when folks are training like 4 to 8 months for a mountaineering trip that we recommend they do. So that is to early in your program, when you're still kind of not doing a ton of cardio because you're really not able to, you haven't built that part up, that's a great time to focus on strength training, focus on lifting heavy. So a lot of times folks will take 4 to 6 weeks early in their mountaineering training season just to really lift heavy, get their strength on point. And then later on, we move into a focus on cardio. And then as the event actually approaches, then they're actually blending both. So they're maybe doing training hikes with a heavy backpack. And the two, if you really want to see how some possible ways you could lay this out, my Mountain Fit course actually includes two training plans. They're the two highest levels that really show you a good way to periodize for mountaineering. Second tip, if you're doing two workouts a day, I want you to do the highest priority activity first, like whatever that happens to be for you. So for example, if you're doing this mountaineering periodization I just described, early in the season, you're going to lift first and then maybe later get on the Stairmaster, maybe later go for your training hike. But from mid-season on, you're really going to focus on the cardio because at that point, your strength training really is just going to kind of be more in maintenance mode. You've already done the hard work. So in that case, the cardio gets prioritization over the strength training. Another tip you can use, this is especially a good one if you're really, really time crunched, is to find ways to do both strength and cardio at the same time. Now, this does have a cost. Doing them both at the same time generally has less benefit in either one than really focusing on them individually. However, like if you're not going to get one or the other in just because you are in a time crunch, getting a little bit of both is better than getting none at all. So a couple ways you can do this. You can use cardio circuits. So that's maybe finding like 5 or 6 exercises that are sports specific and just doing 10 reps of each of them back to back, no rest in between. That's going to get your heart rate up. And then once you finish that circuit, you can have a little rest. And then often folks will repeat it again, repeat it 2 or 3 times. Again, this is something I show you how to do in the Mountain Fit plan. We do a lot of cardio circuit work in those plans. You can also, as I mentioned, do training hikes with a pack. That's very sport specific for mountaineering. And it's really an excellent way to just get your, especially your lower body and core training, your upper body training too, depending on what kind of hike this actually is, in both the same time frame. For runners, you can really focus on running uphill, running on challenging terrain. Focus on things that will just naturally challenge your muscles as well as your cardiovascular fitness. And then if you want to do some upper body work, if you're in a place where you can actually go rock scrambling, where you can climb up a very rocky slope where you actually have to use your arms for part of it, that's an excellent way to train the upper body and the core as well as the lower body. I know that's not an option for all of you. If you're in Florida, you're like rock scrambling, But yeah, if it's available to you, definitely take advantage. Another thing I want you to do throughout this whole process is just to keep really great records. And then after you go through your gold chip, really reevaluate and think about, is there a way that I could improve this balance? So for me, I just finished this 50K, like cardiovascularly, it was the best one I've ever done. I made it to about mile 25 of a really hard 50K before I even really started to feel tired at all. However, I did notice after the race that there were a few things that I definitely was sore for longer. And the muscles that were most sore were kind of the ones that were involved with lateral movement side to side. You don't think about that much in road running, but in hard trail running, when you're on very technical terrain, you're moving in all the different directions. So I kind of looked at that and I was like, wow, maybe I could bring in functional training just for that aspect of it. Maybe do some drills where I'm moving from side to side. That would actually probably be really good for injury prevention as well. I also have an IT man that's kind of been nagging me through this whole training season. And I've been like, I don't really do strength training and I don't do functional training. And I think looking back in hindsight, it would have served me to do some functional training, some massage, some rolling, some stretching on that IT band. And same thing, I have an Achilles heel is on the same side, no surprise, that also nags at me. So I'm like, yeah, functional training, I might bring that back just for some specific things that I seem to deal with. So yeah, just an example of reevaluating and adjusting as you go, knowing you're never going to get it perfect, but you can always get better and be a smarter athlete. And then finally, really choosing trips that fit your evolving lifestyle. As life goes on, you probably, as I'm talking about this, have been impressed by how hard people train for Mount Rainier to carry that 70-pound pack. They really have to have the strength training on points, and they really can't slack too much on the cardio either. It's all got to come together. So that's the kind of mountaineering I used to really be into for a few years. And really, my priorities have shifted. Life has shifted. I just have different family responsibilities now than I used to have. And now it's all about ultra running, because that's one I can kind of get away with. Maybe shorter, you get the same amount, probably as far as intensity, the same amount of cardio in such a shorter time. And then the demands of strength training become a little bit less. So just kind of thinking about that as life is changing, like what sort of events, what sort of trip really works for me right now. And that can also just really help the balance feel good, feel right for you, if that makes sense. And yeah, friends, that is what I have for you this week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, definitely holler at me on the Instagrams at Miss Adventure Pants. All one word is my handle. I also have a Facebook group. It's called Mountaineers and Backpackers in Training. I'll drop links to both of those in the show notes. And yeah, I love hearing from you. So definitely come and talk to me. And yeah, other than that, I will see you here next week. Have a good one and happy climbing. Hey friend, if you're enjoying the pod, there are two simple and free ways you can show your support. First of all, please share this with a friend who might find it helpful. And second, please leave a review on iTunes. Your support means the world to me. Thanks so much for tuning in.